नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो After completing the commentary by Srila Radharaman Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Anuvritti commentary. So now we will start discussing Srila Prabhupada's commentary to Nectar of Instruction, verse 1. Then we will discuss Bhakti Rakshak Siddhar Swami Maharaj and finally summary by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's second commentary, which is written in the form of a summary only. A poetic summary to Nectar of Instruction, each verse he has written. So, we will do this. So, today we will start Prabhupada's commentary. So, as we discussed, we are starting now, but last 15 minutes or so, we will do recap, 5 to 7 minutes recollecting what we have read, important points, whatever, and 5 to 7 minutes we will do in reflections, what point, if we have some thoughts on some points or we have some personal experience that resonates with something that we discussed today. So we will use the last 15 minutes for recapping and reflections. So this is possible either if you have a very strong memory or if you can write it down. Then it is possible for you to recap and reflect. So with that in mind, so when you are listening, please note down so that in the last 15 minutes you have something to discuss. Okay, so we will start with Prabhupada's purport today. Srila Prabhupada says, of course we are discussing the first verse, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jihva Vegam Udaropastha Vegam Etan Veganyo Vishaheta Tira Sarvan Api Mam Prativim Chasishyat. Okay. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter 9 and 10, Parikshit Maharaj placed a number of intelligent questions before Shukadeva Goswami. One of these questions was, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? So he says that kuchin nivartate abhadrat vachicharat datpunah prayas chittam ato apartam manye kunjara shauchavat. So it is like an elephant taking bath. Sometimes understanding that it is wrong to engage in that activity, he refrains. But after some time he engages in the same activity again. Therefore, I think that prayaschitta is useless. But if you think about it, isn't that tendency seen in devotees also? They know it is wrong. Sometimes they refrain from doing that activity because they know it is wrong. But again, they end up doing that same mistake again. So Parikshit Maharaj does not just reject prayaschitta, but he gives a reason for rejecting prayaschitta. What is the reason for rejecting prayaschitta? Because sometimes they refrain from doing that activity, but at other times they end up doing that same activity again. So if that is the reason why he has rejected prayaschitta, then after Shukadeva Goswami presented kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti kachena niharam eva bhaskara, when he presented bhakti as an option, why didn't he reject bhakti? Because doesn't Parikshit Maharaj know that this symptom is seen in devotees also, at least till they progress further? The fact is, the process of karma is not capable of destroying the sinful impressions and sinful desires within the heart. There is no even the Karmakandiya Shastras do not claim it. But in bhakti, it is well documented and well observed amongst devotees over a long period of time that the practice of bhakti does destroy the sinful impressions and desires. Otherwise, Parikshit Maharaj must have rejected bhakti on the same grounds, because such a tendency is seen in devotees also. Sometimes they are able to refrain from sense gratification, but at other times they succumb to it. In fact, that is how Krishna defines sadhana bhakti, beginning stages of sadhana bhakti. Veda dukkatmakam kaman parityagya api anishwara. They know that engagement in sense gratification will lead to suffering, but they are not always able to say no. This is Krishna himself telling Uddhava. So on the same grounds, Parikshit Maharaj should have rejected bhakti also. But Parikshit Maharaj, being a devotee, based on his personal experience and based on his observation of devotees over a long period of time, and also based on the teachings of Shukadeva Goswami from the scriptures, he knew that bhakti as a process, even though in the beginning stages the anarthas may be there, but over a period of time the anarthas do get destroyed by practice of bhakti. So that is why here Prabhupada is quoting this. Parikshit Maharaj asked very interesting questions. One of the questions was, why do people undergo atonement? What is the use? It is like elephant taking bath. For instance, a thief may know perfectly well that he may be arrested for his stealing, and he may actually even see another thief arrested by the police, yet he continues to steal. But this is in devotees also. Is there anyone who is a devotee who is not convinced that sense gratification will eventually lead to suffering? Everyone is convinced. But are we always able to act on that conviction? We may slip sometimes, many times, depending on how developed we are in our devotional service. Experience is gathered by hearing and seeing. One who is less intelligent gathers experience by seeing, and one who is more intelligent gathers experience by hearing. When an intelligent person hears from the law books and shastras or scriptures that stealing is not good, and hears that a thief is punished when arrested, he refrains from theft. A less intelligent person may first have to be arrested and punished for stealing to learn to stop stealing. However, a rascal, a foolish man, may have the experience of both hearing and seeing, and may even be punished, but still he continues to steal. Even if such a person atones and is punished by the government, he will again commit theft as soon as he comes out of jail. Why is Prabhupada discussing all these things? Sense control. Because the whole verse is about sense control. If punishment in jail is considered atonement, what is the benefit of such atonement? When an intelligent person hears from the law books and shastras or scriptures that stealing is not good, and hears that a thief is punished when arrested, he refrains from this. Ho gaya na? Thus Parikshit Maharaj inquired. Idhar tak ho gaya? I think there is some cut paste mere thoda problem. Thus Parikshit Maharaj inquired. Drishta shrutabhyam yat papam janan api atmano ahitam karoti bhuyo vivashah prayaschitta matokatam. Janan api, even though the jiva knows, yat papam, that sinful activities, atmano ahitam, are not beneficial for the soul. Drishta shrutabhyam, so through seeing and through hearing, karoti bhuyo vivashah, he again helplessly commits that same sinful activity. Vivashah means helpless. Prayaschittam utokatam, what is the use of atonement? Actually, if you see, even a person practicing karmakanda knows that sinful activities are atmano ahitam, just like a devotee knows. Drishta shrutabhyam, he has also seen and heard. A person practicing karmakanda, he also knows the sinful activities are bad. He has also seen and heard. But he helplessly commits sin. What is the use of that atonement? Yes, bro. No, that is not always in line with pratyaksha. Sometimes you may see devotees falling more severely than ordinary people also.
This is because of
so. And this is not supported by scriptures also. And Krishna himself says, apichet su duracharo bhajate mam ananyabhat sadureva samantavya samyak vivasito disara. He says, he gives this possibility that you may, a devotee may be ananyabhat, completely dedicated to me, and bhajate mam, he may be worshipping me, but still he may be, he may have sudurachari tendencies. And Vishnu Jagadakur defines sudurachari as addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, and addicted to adultery. True. That is correct. I agree with that. So therefore, the application of this verse is a subjective application rather than an objective application. You may have a more sense-controlled jnani or a karmi compared to a devotee also. So you cannot compare both of them. But you can compare the devotee from what he was few years back to what he is now. From that point of view, you can evaluate the efficacy of the process of bhakti in rectification. That kind of an application is reasonable. But we cannot in general say the intensity of that inclination is definitely more in a material person who has not taken up to bhakti than in a devotee. We cannot say like that.
Just like you mentioned, even in pratyaksha, jnani is in the Dhammakanda, and also the transcendental path of my understanding. Generally, overall, long sustained period of
Correct. And also, the actual the actual jnani, if you see, the qualification for jnana itself is purified heart.
They also have some part in there, some part in there. That is the part
which is purified. That is true. But then still we call them jnanis only because of the predominance of jnana in their practice. So the understanding is, I will try to find that purport.
Here, the main aspect is the tendency to commit. So, why is the tendency to commit is because there is an independent desire to enjoy separate from God, which is more
correct. That is the point that the process itself, the nature of faith is that it clearly defines that any activity that is pratikul to pleasing Krishna is actually not favorable for one's brothers. So therefore Shri Vishnu Chakra Thakur, it is in, I will tell you, I know where it is. It is in his commentary on the Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma verse. There, he says this. I will read exactly what he says. Very beautiful verse. And recently, Madhav Gopal Prabhu had called me from Vrindavan and we were just sharing. He said, I am reading 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, I am currently reading this verse. And he said, I was reading Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. And then we were just sharing some notes. So, very interesting point that he says. Okay. So he says, how can you accept the worship of such a sinful person? So this is the verse after Abhijet Sudharacharo. So one may ask Krishna, Krishna, how can you accept the worship of such a sinful person? How can you eat the food and drink offered by a heart contaminated with lust and anger? Krishna says, very quickly he becomes righteous. Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Why? Because the process is capable of taking him in that direction. The present is used and not the future. Bhavati means the present tense. And not the future to express the fact that having committed sin by remembering the Lord, he becomes repentant and thus very quickly becomes righteous. So he thinks, oh, how unfortunate I am. There is no one as low as I bringing bad name to the devotees. Like that he thinks. Repeatedly he feels complete disgust for those actions. Why did I do this? Repentance. Or, this is a very nice point. First line. The use of the present tense can indicate that in the future he will develop righteousness fully. But even right now, it exists in a subtle form. So righteousness, it will manifest fully in future. But even now, it exists in a subtle form. Subtle form means what? In the form of Shraddha. In the form of conviction. That I know it is wrong. I want to give this up one day. But somehow, will I get some help? Krishna, please, can you help me? So in that way, in the form of conviction, it is there in a subtle form. After taking medicine, even though the destructive effects of fever or poison remains for some time, it is not considered seriously. This is why Parikshit Maharaj did not object. Abhi ab Prananath Krishna Prabhu ke paas jaate hain, Prabhu ji, bahut bukar jaisa lag raha hai mujhe, bahut. एकदम वीक लग रहा है. he takes his thermometer, puts it in your mouth, checks, re 103. He said, take it, late job. And he gives paracetamol tablet. तो आप पूछते हैं, अरे ये खाने से ठीक हो जाएगा? हाँ हो जाएगा, खाओ. तो खाया, पानी पानी पिया, निकलने के बाद बोला हाँ अभी थर्मामीटर लगाओ. अभी तुरंत थर्मामीटर लगाने से क्या दिखाएगा? 103 ही दिखाएगा ना. बट द डॉक्टर नोस, ठीक है अभी तुरंत नहीं लगाएंगे, दो घंटा के बाद आ जाओ. After 2 hours you come, the fever will reduce. So therefore,
patience.
He says, so that's what. So he says that, therefore Parikshit Maharaj knows, after taking medicine, even though the destructive effects of fever or poison remains for some time, it is not considered seriously. Thus, with the entrance of bhakti in his mind, the sinful actions are not taken seriously, because very soon it will go away. Because even though externality is not there, internally, in a subtle form, the righteousness is there in the form of Shraddha. So, for conviction to translate into practical action, it has to go through the mountain of conditioning. So it will take some time. Just like if we are trying to climb a steep mountain with our regular bicycle. So, abhi thoda dur jaane ke baad, when we lose our strength, we will start moving back. But at least we know that the home is on the other side of the mountain. Theek hai, thoda niche aa gaya, so we will get down from the cycle, thoda dhakka maar ke thoda dur leke jayenge. So it's a slow process, but at least the conviction is there that the person has to cross over the ocean, over the mountain. Yes, bro. One will be forcefully dragged to perfection. NOI third shloka, he says. That is why Prabhupada says, don't criticize a person, don't criticize a dirty person who is standing below the shower. He is dirty, but he is standing below the shower. He will become purified very soon. The process is capable. And the traces of sin such as lust and anger should be considered insignificant, like the biting of a toothless snake. Thus he attains complete cessation of lust and anger permanently. Like that he says. Of course, very beautiful purport. But that is why Parikshit Maharaj does not object, and he is quite happy when Shukadeva Goswami says, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam Dunvanti Katsena Niharam Eva Bhaskara. No objection. Agreed. This is based on his observation. This is based on his own experience. This is based on what he has heard till now from Shukadeva Goswami. So therefore, when Shukadeva Goswami presents this, he does not have any objection to this. Kuchin nivartate abhadra kuchit charati tat punaha prayaschittam ato apartham manye punjara shauchavat. After withdrawing from sin, one commits the sin again. I therefore think atonement is useless, like an elephant bathing. Like that it is. Where is Vishveshwaru? Parikshit Maharaj compared atonement to an elephant's bathing. The elephant may take a very nice bath in the river, but as soon as it comes on to the bank, it throws dirt all over its body. So this example is used, but there are two purposes for us to take bath. Especially during summer, we take bath to purify our body. We also take bath to cool down our body. So, in all likelihood, animals probably take bath to cool down their body. That is why in many examples, if you see in Bhagavatam, there is the example of elephant entering a river, elephant torched by summer heat and a forest fire, entering into the river and becoming cold. In the same way, torched by this forest fire of samsara, I have become cold bound, cooled down by entering the cool river of your lotus feet. Like that there are verses. So, anyone remembers? There is a very nice verse, one or two verses which describe about elephant entering the river for cooling its body. So, this is an observation. For a human being will never throw dirt over his body. He may apply some talcum powder. So maybe the elephant throwing dirt over itself is probably something like that. Yeah, I don't know. So the elephant may take a very nice bath in the river, but as soon as it comes onto the bank, it throws dirt all over its body. What then is the value of its bathing? Similarly, many spiritual practitioners chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and at the same time commit many forbidden things, thinking that their chanting will counteract their offenses. This is committing the seventh offense. Namno balad yasyahi papa buddhi. Committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. That is offensive practice actually. Of the ten types of offenses one can commit while chanting the holy name of the Lord, this offense is called Namno balad yasyahi papa buddhi. Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Similarly, certain Christians go to church to confess their sins, thinking that confessing their sins before a priest and performing some penance will relieve them of the results of their weekly sins.
Others
don't do. No Protestants, Pentecost, none of them. As soon as Saturday is over and Sunday comes, they again begin their sinful activities, expecting to be forgiven next Saturday. Saturday is not yet over. This kind of prayaschitta or atonement is condemned by Parikshit Maharaj, the most intelligent king of his time. Shukadeva Goswami, equally intelligent, as befitting the spiritual master of Maharaj Parikshit, answered the king and confirmed that his statement concerning atonement was correct. Yes, you are right. Therefore, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. A sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. Correct? So is atonement counteract a sinful activity or not? Does it contract or not? It actually counteracts, because prayaschitta is not considered like a pious activity. Aisa nahi hai ki I murder someone, I will give something in charity. It will not absolve him of that sin. But prayaschitta is a kind of atonement where it is like a before that actual suffering comes, you actually voluntarily accept some punishment. That is why in that same section, the Yamadutas tell Vishnudutas. Otherwise, this whole elaborate system of atonements is of no use actually. Guru Namcha Guruni Cha Prayas Chittani Papa Nam Gyatvoktani Manyashibi. In that section on Ajamil, the Yamadutas tell Vishnudutas, Guru Namcha Lagunamcha Guruni Cha. If there is a serious sin, there is a serious prayaschitta. If there is a small sin, there is a small prayaschitta. How can you say that one holy name will absolve you of a small sin also and a huge sin also and sins committed over last million lifetimes also? How is it possible? So this is to think, to put holy name on that level is to commit the eighth offense. What is the eighth offense? To consider the chanting of the holy name to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karmakanda. So in karmakandiya prayaschitta, small offense or small sin, small atonement. Big sin, big atonement. Medium sin, medium atonement. But one holy name, all atonements. Not just now, but for millions of lifetimes. How is this possible? Because the holy name is none different from Krishna. Because Namna Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. So Krishna says, all my powers are interested in the holy name. So therefore, to think that how can one holy name destroy all the sinful reactions is to actually think holy name is like one of the auspicious ritualistic activities. So that is why what really lacks is faith and the commission of offenses to the holy name. Because the holy name is capable but is not obliged. Just like Mukesh Ambani is capable, agar aapko 50 lakh ka kuch loan hai, Mukesh Ambani can just pick it out of his pocket and aisa he can throw it. But is he obliged? He is not obliged to give you even a single rupee. So similarly, the holy name is capable but is not obliged. So to an offensive person. So therefore, when the process does not work, then we start questioning. The process may work for you, not work for me. And you know, for practical things, you should do practical things. You cannot. Holy name is for prema, but for other things, you cannot depend on the holy name. Like that, those are all. It is a question of lack of faith actually, rather than whether the holy name is potent or not. Yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascayat yogena dana dharmena shreyo bir itarairapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakta labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchit yadi vanchati. Whatever can be attained by practice of karma, jnana, yoga, tapasya, etc., just by chanting the holy name or by practicing bhakti, my devotee can achieve it. So therefore, one should not say, oh, holy name, you can get only prema. But for the rest of the things, you should do other things. But it is not like that. In fact, in Bhaktirasam Sundhu, if you see some of the verses that are quoted, it is mentioned that by a person sitting and remembering the pastimes of the Lord, or by sitting and chanting the holy name of the Lord, the sinful inclinations of people all over the world gets destroyed. Now, will you say that this is an exaggeration? Then it is the sixth offense. But the point is that it is a question of our faith. If we do it with faith, without offenses, then definitely it is capable of doing. It is just a question of our faith. Like that. So a sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. Then what is the meaning of the verse? Bhogena punyam kushalena papam. What is that? What is that? Rest of the verse care. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam. Comes in the seventh canto. Narsingha Dev tells Prahlad Maharaj. Bhogena punyam. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam kalevaram kala javena hitva kirtim vishuddham suraloka geetam vitaya mam eshyasi mukta bandha. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activities. But same Prabhupada is telling, impious activities cannot be neutralized by acting piously. Correct?
But you say it's not. Piety cannot.
But prayaschitta can. So because of the power, but pure devotees are not expected to perform prayaschitta. Prayaschittam to na uchitam iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is what Rupa Goswami says. So what does it mean? So acting piously means devotionally. That is the only way you can take. And the point is Prahlad Maharaj possessing any residual papa and punya? That is the next question. He is a pure devotee. For pure devotee there is no papa or punya. So how do you understand this verse? Bhogena punyam kushalena papa. You see, kushalena, by acting piously, devotional service is the best of all pious activities. Kushala means expert. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yoga karmasu kaushalam. He says, what is expert action? Where you act but you don't get any reaction, that is expert action, Krishna says. Let's see Prabhupada's purport, what he says. Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, evam prahladasya amshena sadhana siddhatvam nitya siddhatvam cha naradaditvat jneyam. So he says that there are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed siddha. So just like Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is a nitya siddha also, but at the same time he performs the pastime of being a sadhana siddha also. His life of being the son of a maid servant, that is given. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly Narada Muni was the son of a maid servant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also a Nitya Siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Kushalena is very important. one should live in this material world very expertly. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes had name. See, this was spoken by Narasimhadeva to Prahlad Maharaj in front of so many people. It could have been an instruction for others also. One should live in the material world very expertly. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes has to act piously. Although one does not want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger. Thus, even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. That is Kushalena Papam. So, whatever inadvertent mistakes you perform, by remembering the Lord, Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabahyabhyantara Shuchihi. That is the meaning of Kushalena Papam. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabahyabhyantara Shuchihi. That is what Prabhupada says. That is the meaning of Kushalena Papam. Expertly means by expertly thinking of Krishna. What is that Shukracharya speaking to Vamanadev? Sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. What is that? Mantratas tantratas chidram deshakalartha vastutaha. Sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. He says like that. That is Kushalena Papam. Sarvam karoti nischidram. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of the suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of Papa Punya, pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is a Jivan Mukta, is liberated even in this very life in the material body.
There is also a Prabhupada's writing that this cannot be compared to the pious activity. If he had tried that, this cannot be compared to pious activity, but pious activity definitely can contract.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but if he writes like that, then other non-devotees who are reading, pious that become immediate.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So, therefore, prayaschitta can, but prayaschitta cannot actually address the root of the sin. It cannot remove the sinful desire. So, what is the use? So, it is like I give this example of my experience in Gokuldam. In Gokuldam, I had gone for one seminar. So, we had our class in a very rustic setting in the middle of the forest. And they put a table and they said no sound system. And about 100 people were there, you know, sitting across. But because it was very peaceful and no external sounds, it was possible. So, the devotee came and kept a clock and for your time. So, I started speaking and I spoke for about an hour. And I started at around 9 a.m. And after about an hour of speaking, I looked at the clock and it again said 9 a.m. only. So, I told the devotee, Prabhu, the clock is showing the wrong time. So he came running, checked his watch, set it to 10 and went back. So now it's showing, actually it's showing the right time. Then I thought, okay, maybe I didn't see the time in the beginning, so I thought maybe it's just wrong time. So then I spoke for another hour or so and then looked at the watch, it said 10 a.m. So then I told Prabhuji, I think the battery is out. So that is the real addressing. If you don't address the, so prayaschitta is like every time changing the time. 9 to 10, 10 to 11. So how long you will do? The root of the problem needs to be addressed, which is
cutting the grass
and completely uprooting it like that. Thus, real prayaschitta, atonement, is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. Real,
I should say includes like saloons committed murder.
नहीं, even smaller sins also, there are prayaschitta. अभी आप प्रेम बकेश पर जाएंगे. Pious activity is not considered atonement. Prayaschitta is atonement. For pious activity, you will get. For pious activity, you will get some happiness as a result. For sinful activities, you will get some suffering. But let's say if you don't want to suffer for your sinful activities, then you voluntarily go to the astrologer, find out ye ye sinful activity maine kiya hai, iska future suffering mujhe karna nahi hai. Because any unknown suffering, it comes, it causes anxiety. So you say, theek hai, iske liye mujhe kya karna hai, jo pay karna hai penalty pay kar leta hu. So you will do some penalty, do some yagya, pay some money. Generally it is like you have to, it takes time, energy.
Atonement.
So just that it is known, you know, it is predictable. ठीक है, इतना पैसा जाएगा, इतना टाइम जाएगा, इतना एनर्जी जाएगा, आपको पहले ही पता है. ठीक है, देखे उसको खत्म कर दो, लाइक दैट. बट द थिंग इज, यू आर लूजिंग इन टर्म्स ऑफ टाइम, एनर्जी, मनी, रिसोर्सेस. That is considered as punishment. So the sin is neutralized. But that particular sin is neutralized. But what about the your tendency to commit that sin again? That is not taken care of by prayaschitta.
Bhakti can take
care of both. Bhakti can take care of both. Yeah. And yeah.
You see, the incompetent sin, you share the sin with both personalities.
He has the tendency to do it. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So for different people, they have different capacities to and ways of neutralizing that sin. Real atonement involves coming to real knowledge, and for this there is a standard process, and the standard process is bhakti. When one follows a regulated hygienic process, he does not fall sick. A human being is meant to be trained according to certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Such a methodical life is described as tapasya. Why is Prabhupada talking about tapasya here? Etan veganyo vishaheta dhira. That is actually tapasya only. To tolerate the urges is tapasya. It comes. Tapasa brahmacharyena. Same thing. He is talking about that only. One can be gradually elevated to the standard of real knowledge or Krishna consciousness by practicing austerity and celibacy, by controlling the mind, shamenacha, by controlling the senses, dhamenacha, by giving up one's possession in charity, dhyagena, by being avowedly truthful, satya, by keeping clean, shauchena, shauchabhyam, by practicing yoga asanas, yamena niyamena va. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices for controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process. Mystic yoga is actually Ashtanga yoga, as mentioned before, simply by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, refraining from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. Basically, these four are Vachava Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udara Upastha Vegam. Illicit sex is upastha vegam, meat eating is jihva vegam, intoxication and gambling you can say manasa vegam, you can say like that. And by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, this easy process is being recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami. First, now he is starting. First, one must control his speaking power. Vacho Vegam. Every one of us has the power of speech. As soon as we get an opportunity, we begin to speak. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. a toad in a field speaks by croaking, and similarly everyone who has a tongue wants to speak even if all he has to say is nonsense. The croaking of the toad, however, simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. Nevertheless, although it is inviting death, the toad goes on croaking. The talking of materialistic men and impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers may be compared to the croaking of frogs. They are always speaking nonsense and thus inviting death to catch them. Controlling speech, however, does not mean self-imposed silence, the external process of mauna, as Mayavadi philosophers think. Silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. What is that verse? In the teachings of the four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj, they say, Vivikta Drishtya Paritosha Atmani Vina Harer Piyusha Panar. What is it? Vina Harer Pada Piyusha. Sagoshtya Drishtaya Tat Sammatana Aparigrahena Cha Vivikta Drishtya Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vina Harer Pada Piyushapana Harer Guna Piyushapana, he says. Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani. So one should develop a taste for living alone, being satisfied with oneself. Vina Harer Guna Piyushapana. As long as he has not developed a taste for discussing Harikatha. So if he has not developed a taste for discussing Harikatha, better he should stay alone. Because in the association of others, he will speak nonsense. But once one has developed a taste for that, then he need not stay alone. He can stay with devotees and discuss Harikatha. Even though he does not have taste, if one stays in the association of devotees, correct. By contrast, the controlled speech advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami is the positive process of Krishna Katha, engaging the speaking process in glorifying the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So, what did we see in this regard yesterday? Yesterday we saw Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur only. What did we see? Correct. Being apathetic or indifferent to discussion of Krishna, nonsense, is actually tacitly complying to such a thing. Some other thing we saw, very beautiful statement he made. The desire to speak Krishna Katha is a mature fruit of practicing Vachavegam, he says. So if one wants to speak Krishna Katha, so because in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur only, you see, if sufficient opportunity was not given to speak Krishna Katha, he would fast. So one may say, hey, Vacho Vegam, so itna kyun aapko bolne ka ichha kyun? Can't you practice some, tolerate your urge to speak? Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, the urge to speak Krishna Katha is the mature fruit of practicing Vachavegam, he says. Or hearing Krishna Katha like that. The tongue can thus glorify the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death. Any verse you can recollect. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death or the hearer. Ayur harati vaipumsam udyan astam chayan asau tasya riteya kshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. With every rising and setting of the sun steals away one day from the life of a person who has not spent his time listening to Krishna Katha. But for a person who has spent his time listening to Krishna Katha, every rising and setting of the sun takes him one step closer to eternity. Like that. This is the significance of the controlling the urge to speak. Vacho Vegam. Manasa Vegam. The restlessness or fickleness of the mind is controlled when one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andakar Yahan Krishna Tahanahi Mayara Adhikar. Krishna is just like the sun and Maya is just like darkness. If the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Similarly, if Krishna is present in the mind, there is no possibility of the mind's being agitated by Maya's influence. But what is the means to fix the mind on Krishna? Fixing the senses on Krishna. So that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also. Mayeva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivashishyasi mayeva ata urdvam na samshaya. The highest process is to spontaneously always think of me, O Arjuna. If you cannot do that, he says, ata chittam samadatum nashaknosi mayi stiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dananjaya. If you cannot do that, practice fixing your mind on me. Whenever the mind goes away, bring it back, fix it on my lotus feet. But one may say, look, what you say is possible if most of the time my mind thinks of you and sometimes it goes away. But 100% of the time, it is sitting elsewhere only. So how can I bring and fix it? It is too much hard work. He says, okay. Abhyase abhyasamartosi matkarma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. So then stop working on your mind and start working on your senses. He says, engage your senses in Krishna conscious activities constantly. So when there is constant engagement of your senses in Krishna conscious activities, then the input for the mind is coming through the senses. The food for the mind, food for thought, it is coming through the senses, Gyanendriyas. Rupa, rasa, sparsha, gandha, shabda. If you think what your mind is meditating on, it is either meditating on Rupa, Rasa, Sparsha, Gandha and Shabda. It cannot think of anything else. And past experiences based on Rupa coming in touch with eyes, Rasa coming in touch with tongue, Sparsha coming in touch with skin, Gandha coming in touch with nose and Shabda coming in touch with ears. It will be meditating on that. Oh, that voice. Oh, that touch. Oh, that taste. Oh, that form. Oh, that fragrance. So, mind's food for thought comes through the senses. So, Krishna says, stop working on the mind. Start working on the senses. Pluck all your senses or engage, give Krishna conscious engagement to your senses. And when the Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varinane Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Antishu Smritim Chakara Achyuta Sat Katodaye Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishau. tadvritya gatra sparshe anga sangam. So if your skin is experiencing the embrace of devotees, if your eyes are experiencing the deity form of the Lord, if your ears are hearing Krishna katha, so in this way, if the only food that your mind gets is all connected to Krishna, then the mind will be forced to meditate only on that. So the means to address the mind, if it is predominantly materialistic, is to start working on the platform of senses only. Ensure constant Krishna conscious engagement to the senses. Then mind can be addressed. Yanmano anuvidiyate tadasya harati pratyam vayur navam avivamyas. So then senses will pull the mind. If you allow sense object to pull your senses, that sense will pull the mind, mind will pull the intelligence, like that he says. So then the hierarchy will flip. Instead of buddhi controlling the mind, mind controlling the senses, senses controlling the sense object, it will be the sense object controlling the senses, senses controlling the mind, mind will control the intelligence, like that. Similarly, if Krishna is present in the mind, there is no possibility of the minds being agitated by Maya's influence. But for Krishna to be present within the mind, the senses should accumulate Krishna conscious impressions and feed it to the mind. Then mind can fix on Krishna. The yogic process of negating all material thoughts will not help. To try to create a vacuum in the mind is artificial. The vacuum will not remain. However, if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled. So, one has to think of ways and means, various ways of thinking of Krishna. So, the various means of thinking of Krishna are Krishna conscious things is through the senses only. 64 limbs. Engage the limbs in the 64 limbs of devotional service. Engage the senses in the 64 limbs of devotional service. So that way the mind will have no other choice. It will have to choose amongst one of those 64 to meditate upon. This is about Manasa Vegam. Krodha Vegam. Similarly, anger can be controlled. We cannot stop anger altogether till we transcend Rajoguna and Tamoguna. It is not possible. But if we simply become angry with those who blaspheme the Lord, are the devotees of the Lord, we control our anger in Krishna consciousness. So, of course, he is quoting this verse, Kama Krishna Karmarpane, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane, Lova, what is it? Lova Sadhu Sange Harikata, Moha Ishta Labha Vine, like that he says. So, but if you see, actually, our natural response, we cannot act on the platform of anger, dovetailing our anger, if we do not dovetail our value system, if our value system does not change. So when the value system changes, and then, because what is anger? Anger is when there is obstruction of what we value. When there is an obstruction of what we value, then it leads to anger. But if what we value is all material things, and we think that we will dovetail our anger towards those who blaspheme the devotees, then it is not possible. Because anger should naturally come. anger will come, then what you value is taken away from you, or you are not allowed to enjoy what you value. So what we value has to change. Otherwise, when someone blasphemes the devotee, we will also join in and continue that blasphemy. We will not become angry because our value system has not changed. So this is mentioned, but this is not very easy to do. It requires a change of value system, complete transformation of value system. And when that value system is brought into practice, then actually we can become angry only when we hear blasphemy of devotees and Krishna.
Second and third verse.
Huh? Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry with the miscreant brothers Jagai and Madai, who blasphemed and struck Nityananda Prabhu. In his Sikshashtaka, Lord Chaitanya wrote, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishna. One should be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. One may then ask, why the Lord exhibited his anger? The point is that one should be ready to tolerate all insults to one's own self. But when Krishna or his pure devotee is blasphemed, a genuine devotee becomes angry and acts like fire against the offenders. So, the point is, we cannot use the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his anger is not born out of mode of passion or ignorance. His anger is born out of his prema towards his devotee, Nityananda Prabhu. So that prema, he is not dovetailing his anger in Krishna consciousness. It is an anger that is born out of sadhunam sadavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. So the anger is born out of this sentiment that Krishna holds. So but if we cannot say that if we are like boga vastu hridayam mayam, and then we think that my lust is towards boga vastu, but when Vaishnava is blasphemed, I will become angry, then it is not possible actually. So it is not organic. So just like anger is called as Kamanuj, the younger brother of Kama, lust. So therefore, it will follow Kama only. Anuja means one, it will follow the elder brother. So whatever, the elder brother is what we value. So if a change does not happen there, then anger will not naturally manifest towards Vaishnavas. Yes, bro.
Like, there is an attraction towards Vaishnavas, and there is an attachment towards Vaishnavas.
Correct.
So when that level comes,
correct. Correct. Agreed.
It is possible to have. We may have lust and other things, but this value.
Value is there. Correct. Agreed.
May have my conditions,
but when it comes to this point, I will not tolerate. Correct.
So that value system actually makes our control of anger. Other places we may tolerate, but here we will not.
Correct. Agreed. So actually, as we understand, when we have faith in pure devotional practice, even though it may be weak, it means that we have a change of value system. We have a change of value system. That is why we, at least if an outsider blasphemes a devotee, we actually become angry. But the only problem is when insiders, between ourselves, it is difficult to tolerate. But when an outsider comes, naturally we all come together and you know, we resist. So therefore, that anger we will definitely have, but the but between ourselves, it becomes little difficult to. Correct. Krodha, anger cannot be stopped.
Anger is the energy. It's emotion. It leads to so much surge of energy. So how you channelize it?
Channelize it.
That way you can do it.
Correct. Correct. Krodha, anger cannot be stopped but can be applied rightly. It was in anger that Hanuman set fire to Lanka, but he is worshipped as the greatest devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This means that he utilized his anger in the right way. But of course, he became angry because Ravana was acting against Lord Ram's interest for that reason. Arjuna serves as another example. He was not willing to fight, but Krishna incited his anger. You must fight. To fight without anger is not possible. Anger is controlled, however, when utilized in the service of the Lord. Okay, so we have another. Yes, sir. Correct.
So is it locating our anger in proper Krishna consciousness?
No, it is actually taking our consciousness away from Krishna. Because it is not a question of Krishna, it is a question of our false ego only. Country. So this is just inciting our false ego only. That is not dovetailing our anger.
It is actually increasing the anger.
Yeah.
We don't have anger, but because of hearing, person become angry and they say, okay, now we should go and
do something active. Nothing comes up. Anyone gets angry in that
field. Nothing comes up. You just incite many more people.
and then
chalo chalo prasad khata. Okay, so last 10-12 minutes, so let's take a quick rapid fire recap for 5 minutes and some reflections from what we have discussed today for another 5 minutes, whatever you can remember from Prabhupada's purport, what we have seen. We discussed about prayaschitta. Anything you remember from that discussion of prayaschitta? What is the use of this atonement? Why? Because it is like kochit nivartate abhadrat kochit charati tat punaha. Again he ends up performing it. Okay.
Use the example of thief.
Yeah. He steals, he knows that it is wrong, he has seen people getting, but still he does that.
Example of Christians going to church.
Importance of one should be sense controlled. Tapasya, he says. Yeah.
Another example, elephants.
Elephant taking bath. Yes. What else? A less intelligent person? Yeah, by experience also he may not learn. Yeah. He After Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya, he didn't have an objection, even though devotees may seem to have such. Example of a fever. Yeah, yeah, correct. Medicine. Yes. Anything. We discuss Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, where he talks about the righteousness present in a subtle form. He says, even though it may not be externally manifest, it's present in a subtle form. Means in Shraddha it is there. Huh? Chakravarti Pad's commentary. Yeah. That's why, see, in a devotee, even though he may not be able to immediately act perfectly righteously, but still that righteousness is there in a subtle form, in the form of Ishraddha. Like, that is why it is different from a Karmakandi person performing atonement and again performing, because that is not rectifying his heart, transforming his heart, but the process of bhakti is transforming his heart like that. Okay, what else did we discuss? Then he started discussing about Vachovegam. So he gives the example of a toad, frog, inviting snake. So then he says, but that does not mean it is like Mauna of a Jnani. Krishna Katha is beyond the clutches of death. Ayur Harati Vaipumsa. That is yesterday. Aaj kya discuss kiya? Same thing he also mentioned. Antidote is positive. What does he say? Oh, which one? The first one, but the control speech advocated by Sri Rupa Goswami is the positive process of Krishna Katha. Okay. Manasa Vegam mein kya dekha humne? Yahan Krishna tahana hi mayara adhikar. Okay. So, and he says this is not the yogic process of negating. So you can, the feed for the mind comes through the Jnanendriyas, so engage the Jnanendriyas in Krishna's service. Anything else we saw in Manasavega? Okay. Yeah. And what about anger? What did we see? Essence is anger can be dovetailed. When the value system changes, it can be applied rightly. Yeah. Okay. So, we have another 6 minutes. So, some reflections based on what we discussed today or yesterday also, if you remember something. Something, some points struck you and some things you have observed in your life which resonates with some principles that we discussed yesterday or today. Prayaschitta.
Value system. So value system, even in a mundane sense, it's all about training. For example, no one is born an environmentalist.
No one is born an environmentalist. Correct.
Seeing, watching,
associating with.
I have a thing where if I see someone throw something, you know, it usually comes from this experience. It's just that because it's like programmed. Because we have, you know, came up with that.
We have heard Malaysia, Singapore. Singapore, you can be fined very severely, severe penalties.
Chewing gum is banned in
India. Chewing gum is banned.
In the night. Because people could hear, put their nose on the tin. So, because it's actually, and we must know advertisements in between the TV. All advertisement is for when you enter a bus, give holy bricks. When you enter, don't throw out the bus. Everyone's written, don't throw petra out of us. We have so common food in our pocket.
Yeah.
So it becomes actually a value system impression.
Yeah.
And then when someone else does it, it's not that they are doing it out of, this is actually innocently they're doing it.
Yeah. So value system is through cultivation, training. Yeah.
Not just value system, but
by training. Yeah. Yes. Radha Prabhu, you want to share something?
Even though we hear it's very difficult to apply some of the standards.
Correct.
So, it really takes for the hard teaching and for it to, unless it experiences something very positive, that if we see some sacrifice done for us, that touches our heart, then we may want to follow that standard.
Correct.
Some conditionings are so strong.
Correct.
Even though we want to overcome, unless something really serious happens, whether you undergo some crisis or some serious thing can touch your heart, your sacrifice, then only it is possible to overcome the condition. Because I know it is wrong,
Correct.
Unless something serious happens in life. When we see for others, they are not able to do. We should know that Krishna has some special planning. Maybe he has to go through certain things, then only he will
happen. Yeah. In our life also we see, we had been struggling with something for a long time, and suddenly some incident, as you said, you know, some personal touch from a devotee, and it has a very profound effect. Or you started following it after some sincere prayers on Ramanavami or Narasimha Chaturdashi, and then suddenly you felt some empowerment and you could practice it, and it continued for some time. For a long time. So, yeah. So,
it is right, but I cannot do it. I know I have to do this, I am not supposed to do it. There are so many things I have to do right. Somehow I cannot do it. So much resistance is there to be possible to work on conditions.
Yeah.
Unless something very serious happens. It's not that I am afraid, but understand that it takes a certain time for things to do rehabilitation.
Yeah. Correct. Yes. Anything else? If you can dredge through your notes.
I have, for reading Bhagavatam, I don't give up all the things that come here. Sitting there and go and read. I was thinking to do it, but never happened.
Yeah.
Then you have to completely change everything, then only it is possible.
Yeah.
So,
Correct. Anything else? I was thinking about the point of Prayaschit. Those who have some experience of that, then to leave that or to have faith in bhakti is very
difficult.
Because we are used to, you know, this is this solution, this puja, then yajna, this fasting. So, even swimming alone, this thing is, we know what parigaram to do, passive to do. So,
yeah, it's very difficult.
And that becomes even more attractive. Some of my friends are also, this means what to do. No, bhakti is the only solution. That's okay, but
for this particular thing,
it's practical, a fast solution.
That is why Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Ni Cha Lagu Ni Cha. That is why those who are soaked in Karma Kanda, they can't believe. How man, one holy name? You think I am an idiot?
And he goes to many people, he says, how can I atone? And so many people, that's so many people. Then at last he comes to an ashram. The sage was not there, the son was there. He said, I did this very great simple activity and I don't know. The sage said, no, don't worry, you just chant three times in Omkara. You chant three times in Omkara. He really feels relieved. He becomes very happy to speak when the sage comes. And asks, okay, what happened? He said, your son is very good. I did this simple activity and your son should chant the name of Lord Ram. It was clear and very good. He could chant the name of Lord Kedar. Then the sage looks so angry. He says, my son is an atheist, you don't have faith. I immediately went to throw him out of the ashram. He says, why he told you to chant three times? One time was sufficient.
Oh!
It's a bumpy club.
Jai. Wonderful. Okay. So, and at least we started, but we could do better. So, tomorrow we will continue. Maybe once it starts, then maybe we can even increase the time of discussion, because this is a book. The nature of the book is like that. So, please, you know, if you can, at least, if not notes, at least if you jot down some points you like, or something, you remember something that you might like to share. So, please write it down so that you can remember. Last 15 minutes we have started with, we can make it half an hour also. Okay. So, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki, Upadeshamrit ki.